You're listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Thanks for sticking around for the second hour of Larry Connors USA Radio here. Paul Brown sitting in tonight for Larry. He'll be back. Hopefully he'll be back on Monday. I am honored that Larry asked me from time to time to help out and do the program. I'm a columnist with the Ladue News magazine. That's what I do some of the other time. I get all kinds of stuff going on, but one of the things going on tomorrow night, he asked me to come back tomorrow night. I'm having surgery on my arm tomorrow night. I blew out my bicep tendon. I ruptured my right arm bicep tendon on a very dangerous ladder. And don't use this ladder, I'm telling you. It was awful. So I'm having surgery to repair a bicep tendon tomorrow. So good thoughts. Good karma coming my way from hopefully from everybody so that I get through this surgery okay. Are you guys really sick of hearing about all the politics and all the bad news and all the stuff that's going on and all the controversies, everything that we're doing all the time? It's just killing me. It's really wearing on all of us. And so I just thought it was time for something completely different in the first part of this hour. And a friend of mine was in town, and I visited with a friend of mine, and he was good friends with Burt Reynolds. And Burt Reynolds, of course, everybody knows, or if you don't know, he died last year at the age of 82. And Burt Reynolds never won an Academy Award, but he was one of the biggest movie stars in Hollywood. A movie and a television career that began 60 years ago, and he appeared and starred in hundreds of movies and TV shows over the years. One of his most memorable roles was the movie Deliverance, 1972. But one of his most enduring roles was in a TV show he produced and directed, Evening Shade. He was a playboy, a comedian, a serious actor, a philosopher, and a teacher. This is how one of the network news programs paid tribute to him.
Good, buddy.
Behind the wheel.
Set.
On the football field.
Oh, yeah.
In the backwoods.
Sometimes you have to lose yourself before you can find anything.
And across from Barbara Walters.
Are you a swinger?
No.
Burt Reynolds was a guy's guy with a good time grin. His rugged, manly appeal made him wildly popular in movies and on TV for decades as an actor and showbiz personality.
You said, too, that you're the only movie star who became a movie star in spite of his pictures, not because of them.
He was always quick to laugh at himself.
And I'd like to be a successfully married person, but obviously not enough.
And let others joke at his expense.
Yeah, what do you want?
Norm MacDonald's SNL impersonation of Reynolds became legendary.
Yeah, I found this backstage, an oversized hat. It's funny.
No, it's not.
Sure it is. It's funny. It's funny because it's bigger than a, you know, a normal hat.
His own comedic timing was hard to beat.
Sorry, I don't want to get married.
Terrific. That makes two of us.
But perhaps most famously, he was a sex symbol. His high-octane movies were not staples on the award circuit, but he ruled the box office from the late 70s into the 80s. The heartthrob delighting audiences, co-starring alongside female icons like Dolly Parton, singing duets together in The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
Sneaking around with you, going around or two, doing what love.
That was Burt Reynolds, a tribute to Burt Reynolds, who died last year. When we come back, we're going to talk with a friend of mine who was also a very close friend of Burt Reynolds for the past 30 years or so. And he has written a new book about how his life and many other lives were affected because of Burt Reynolds. Mark Fowler joins us when we come back. This is Larry Connors USA Radio. Paul Brown sitting in. Stay with us.
Wellington Environmental.
specializes in making your world safer, finding, removing threats to your health. In one facility, occupants were getting sick, but only in one portion of a building. And Wellington Environmental was asked to investigate and soon found air conditioning units in the rooms only in that side of the building were blowing cold air loaded with mold. The AC units in that part of the building were pulling air from a stagnant pond. Mystery solved, threat resolved. That's just one of many Wellington Environmental stories. And then there's a hospital that was going to have to close because of a water main break until Wellington stepped in to help. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
You're listening to Larry Connors, USA. To text the show, it's 855-282-8255. It's 855-282-8255.
Well, the Illinois Central and the Southern Central Freight keep on pushing my mark, you know they're running late. But I love, where would you be now?
Is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
And Paul Brown sitting in tonight for Larry. Thanks for being with us. I just had to do something a little lighter in this hour because the news has been so serious all day long, and I know all the Democrats can use some cheering up. Because if you listen to most of the pundits from the right, it was a disastrous day for the Democrat Party, and it almost guarantees that Donald Trump will be reelected. I have no idea. I think there's still a lot of analyzation that needs to be going on, but I wanted to do something different. And so I wanted to talk about actor Burt Reynolds. I love Burt Reynolds. He died last year at the age of 82, and Mark Fowler grew up across the street from me in Ferguson, as a matter of fact. He studied theater at the University of Missouri and became a stage and screen actor, and that led him to the Burt Reynolds Institute of Film and Theater in Florida. He became Reynolds' assistant and eventually became a writer for Reynolds' critically acclaimed TV series Evening Shade. He was a screenwriter in motion pictures. He is now a creative development consultant at Marion Community Schools in Marion, Indiana, and he has written a book that I have right here titled Because of Burt. Mark Fowler is with us now here on Larry Connors USA Radio. How are you, Mark? Thanks for staying up with us tonight.
Oh, my gosh. It's so good to talk to you, and it was so good seeing you last weekend. My
yes.
Goodness.
Came in town for your 40th high school reunion, and it was good to see you. I haven't seen you in years. We just before the break here, we listened to a clip of a tribute piece before that break. Barbara Walters said in that piece that Burt Reynolds became a great movie star, not because of the movies he made, but in spite of them. I don't know. I went back and I started looking at some clips from his movies, and there were some, of course, Deliverance was just one of the best of all times.
Oh, he's a great actor, and he's got I think most people do anything to have his body of work. He was just a tremendous actor and even a better person.
The name of the book is Because of Burt. In your words, because of Burt, what?
Well, because of Burt, you know, I got this great education in 1986, you know, at a school. Because of Burt, I met my wife, and now I have a beautiful family for 32 years. Because of Burt, you know, he hired me to act on a show, on Evening Shade. Because of Burt, I was a writer on a show, and I also rewrote a movie he did for Reba McEntire called The Man from Left Field. But because of Burt, I also wrote the movie The Right to Remain Silent. And because of Burt, I met Billy Bob Thornton, and we did Waking Up in Reno together. So there's just so many stories that I can link to Burt Reynolds, and I'm just one of many Because of Burt stories. And I think it's important for your audience and people to know what a generous man he was.
Talk about some of the famous people. You said Billy Bob Thornton, but I know there was a whole list of people that you were able to meet and come in contact with. Who is the coolest person? Who is the and if there's somebody you could say was a disappointment, so to speak? I don't know. Who is the best person you got to meet other than Burt Reynolds himself?
Well, I'd probably say Billy Bob Thornton. Billy's just a great down-to-earth guy, and I think he kind of changed the game for me. Not only that, he's a big St. Louis Cardinal fan. So yeah,
oh, that's right.
Yeah, you know, right. But a guy I met that I just loved, you know, always in the movies, that I was really pleased to see he was as funny and cool, it was Bill Murray. I'm good friends with his brother, Joel, and so we would play basketball together, and he's a really great athlete but a fun guy. The most disappointing person I think I've met, and it's odd because it's my favorite show and it's my favorite character, and it's Captain Kirk and William Shatner. I was very disappointed.
Really?
Yeah, I thought he was really standoffish. He did Sequest. Huh. And, you know, maybe we caught him on a bad week or something. Uh-huh. But, man, I don't know.
Huh. But what's it like, though, to have become so close with somebody as famous as Burt Reynolds like you did? That's one of those kind of things where you sit back and you go, oh my God, I'm having drinks with Burt Reynolds, or oh my God, we're having dinner and we're hanging out watching TV. You know, just everyday situations, and there you are with one of the most famous people on the planet.
Well, he was so down to earth. That's what's so crazy about it. But, you know, you think about this young guy in Ferguson, Missouri, and then on West County, going to movies and dreaming about being Burt Reynolds, you know, and then lo and behold, you're in a school, and the next thing you know, I'm his personal assistant. So, I mean, we were incredibly close. He was, just like I said over and over, he's very giving, but, I mean, we had so many laughs. I mean, so many inside stories. He would include me on virtually everything. So, like, I got to meet Jimmy Stewart. He was another awe-inspiring person. I was his assistant for the day, and it was because of Bert.
But again, yeah. when you're that close to somebody, do they recognize just how famous they are, or do they just assume this is just the way it is? It is what it is.
You know, it's such a hard I kind of write about it in the book, but you think about how beautiful Whitney Houston was, or how talented Elvis Presley was, or Michael Jackson. And it is so, you know, I always wanted to be this famous star until, because of Bert, I didn't want to do it anymore. And it was because I saw how difficult it was to be that famous. Mm. I mean, people, you don't know what's true or not, because some of the people around you are telling you yes when they should be telling you no. And they're fearful of telling you no because they're fearful they might lose their job. And my attitude around the whole time was, I love this guy, and I would always want to know the truth. I'd want you to tell me the truth, you know. That's how you become the best person you can be. That's how you can have longevity. And a lot of people get caught up in that world of, you know, wanting to hear what they want to hear. And I think Bert really appreciated that in me and other people. I think, you know, Bert really wanted truth. But sometimes when you're that big of a star, you don't hear it all the time.
We're going to take a time out right now. We're going to come back and talk a little bit more with Mark Fowser. He's the author of the book, Because of Bert. We'll continue this conversation on the Larry Connors USA radio program. I'm Paul Brown, sitting in. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You can follow Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA, at Larry Connors USA.
You're listening to Larry Connors USA. To call in locally, dial 314-821-0590. Dial 314-821-0590. Dial 314-821-0590.
Trail head full of zombies. I met a strange lady. She made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, do you come from a land down under?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I'm Paul Brown, sitting in tonight for Larry Connors on the Larry Connors USA radio program, and we're continuing our conversation. Just had to do something a little bit different to kind of break this cycle of crazy news that's been going on, and we're so caught up with all this political stuff. And I'm talking about my friend Mark Fowser, who wrote a book called Because of Burt. It's all about Burt Reynolds and the impact he had on his life. And I'm looking at this book, and I'm looking at some of the pictures in here, and all the famous people that you got to hang out with, Lonnie Anderson and Reba McEntire and Steven Spielberg, Hal Holbrook. There's just lots and lots. Carol Burnett, Tony Bennett, Lindsay Nelson. I mean, wow, what a great experience you had because of Burt Reynolds. But what other impact did Burt have on other people that he came in contact with? And what impact on the movie world do you think he had?
Well, I think I'll answer your first one. I'll give you an example. Gigi Rice, she played Will Ferrell's girlfriend in Night at the Roxbury. She was an apprentice at a school as well. Well, she met her husband, Ted McGinley, who, you know, Ted is a famous actor who's on Married with Children, The Next Door Neighbor, and he's had several series. Well, they have a beautiful family, but that was all because of Burt, you know. Another one of my friends became the executive producer on Quantum Leap and then Sequest. Well, he cast myself and another apprentice, John DeAquino, who's had a great career. So Burt has done this for so many people. I mean, whether it's writers out there or actors. He's helped Robert Urich. He helped Farrah Fawcett. Farrah Fawcett was, he took a pay cut for her to do Cannonball Run. He helped Sally Field. I mean, you know, Sally Field was known as a made-for-TV.
She was the flying nun, for crying out loud. How do you get over the habit that made her fly? Come on. I was seven and I knew that wasn't possible.
And, you know, back then, it was really stereotypical. You're either a theater actor or you're a TV actor or you're a movie star. And he broke that. He broke all those rules. You know, he would do everything. So he helped Sally Field and he's helped so many people. But he did a great crossover. You know, he won a Golden Globe for his performance on Evening Shade. He won an Emmy for that. And then, of course, he won a Golden Globe for Boogie Nights. And I think this new Quentin Tarantino movie is supposed to be doing that. And it's coming out tomorrow. And in fact, he was working on lines when he passed away.
Wow. I'm looking forward to seeing that movie. I did. There was a more serious side too of him. And as we kind of saw him and we could tell he was starting to really deteriorate there at the end. He was, you know, he was looking rough. But I saw a clip of a film that he did where the old Burt Reynolds interacted with the young Burt Reynolds from his early career, and he would do these scenes where he was talking to himself, the younger self, in these from these movie scenes. What movie was that? What film was that?
I think it was The Last Movie Star.
Is that what it's called? Okay, I think that's what it is. And he's talking to himself, and he's trying to tell his young self all the things that he should do instead of what he's doing. And he really couldn't convey that. And I felt the frustration in Burt when he was trying to look at his young self and say, wow, I took it all for granted. I didn't understand. And then he even had kind of a hard time, you know, trying to figure out what his life was all about. Is that part of the price of fame?
I think it is a part of price of fame. But I think he handled it about as well as anybody could handle it. It is so, like I said, it's so difficult. I knew I couldn't do it as good as he could. And so that movie is somewhat tragic, you know. But I'll tell you, the one of the greatest qualities about Burt, in addition to being a giving guy, he was self-effacing. He's the first guy to make fun of himself. So that makes him, you know, endearing as well. And he had a wicked sense of humor and a great laugh. And, as a movie star, you can kind of say whatever lines you want. In a TV series, they want you to stick to the script. Well, imagine the biggest movie star on the planet doing a TV series and being told really kind of what to do. But he did it, and he was a team player. So he came up with a little routine where he had this thing in his ear. So I was kind of like Mike Martz and his offensive coordinator. So he was kind of like Kurt Warner, right? And when I'm giving him his lines while Mary Lou Henner's talking, so he's prepared when it goes on. So our signal was, if he couldn't hear me or there was a mistake, he would pinch his nose and I'd give him the line again. So we had this thing going pretty good and nobody knew about it. And one time we're doing the scene with Mary Lou and he pinches his nose and I give him the line again. And she goes, "Bert, you skipped a page." And then he looks at me standing pretty far away and goes, "You putz." And then the cat was out of the bag and, you know, we all laughed. And so we use that during the show sometimes if we got the script late. And it was so much fun because I would be Bert when he would direct. So I'm there in the network interacting with all these great actors, Charles Durning, Mary Lou, and I'm acting with them till the Friday of the show. So how spoiled was I for 2 years to get mm-hmm. to act with all those great actors?
But you never broke through. You never became a star yourself. Is that because of Bert too?
Well, you know, I don't know about that. I know that I really wanted to be, and then I knew I really didn't want to be. So there was kind of a fork at the road in 1994. I was writing on Evening Shade, and I was acting on Sequest, and I really felt like I could do this forever. This is so much fun. And all of a sudden, that big earthquake hit in 94, and I had two kids, and Evening Shade got canceled, and Sequest recast. My wife said, "I don't live here anymore. I want to move to the Midwest." And I didn't want to lose my family, so I did. But when I moved, I started working more in Hollywood. I started selling. That's when Billy Bob Thornton came into my life, and we started really making a lot of movies. And I acted in the movie Madison and so forth. I liked it, but I really would rather play more of a inconspicuous character.
Mm-hmm. Like,
because, like I said, I was just horrified of all the things that go with fame.
Well, Because of Bert is the name of the book, and it's just out. It's got a lot of great stories in it, a lot of great pictures of you with lots of folks. I like the picture on the back. That is a classic picture of you and Burt Reynolds. That's really a great a great photo there. Where do people get this book?
It's only on Amazon.
Only on Amazon.
Our people go and get it. It means a lot to me. That picture on the back there, you know, Burt was all about paying it forward. And one time when he allowed me to act on Sequest, while I was writing, I said, why are you doing all this for me? He goes, "Because Jimmy Stewart did it for me, and someday I hope you do it for other people." And so I built a school in Marion, Indiana, an art school, and that's when Bert came to town and performed in the show and taught our kids. We sold out the place, 1,400 people, and it was one of the most incredible weekends I've ever had. He stayed down the street. He came over to my house, and people are just going crazy over him. He's such a genuine guy.
Because of Bert by Mark Fowser. Look for it on Amazon. And Mark Fowser, sure is good talking to you, my friend. Miss the old days hanging out in the woods in Parc Monceau and building the old fort in the backyard.
That's in the next book, Because of Parc Monceau.
Because of Parc Monceau. Because of Ferguson. Ooh.
Because of Ferguson.
Ooh. That could be a movie.
No question.
I'll help you with that project. Mark, again, thanks for being with us here on Larry Connors USA Radio.
Thanks, buddy.
Take care. That's an interesting conversation, a nice way to get out of all the political junk. But we're going to get right back into it, of course, because coming up next, we're going to be going to Las Vegas, Nevada, to talk with Scott Simon of Simon Says. That is next. I'm Paul Brown, sitting in tonight for Larry on the Larry Connors USA Radio program. Stay with us.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
Amazing.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Paul Brown sitting in again for Larry for the next 22 minutes or something like that until the top of the hour. Larry will be back in a couple of days. He's taking a couple of days off. So I won't be here tomorrow night because I was saying earlier I'm having surgery tomorrow because I tore a bicep tendon. Oh, I'm such an idiot. I was up on a ladder trying to put something up in the rafters of my garage. We just moved into a new house, so I've been rearranging stuff. And I was on a ladder, and it was a poorly designed step ladder. It was as narrow at the bottom as it was at the top, and so it was very unsafe. Stay off the ladders, especially old people like me. Anyway, I've got surgery coming up tomorrow, so I'll be out of commission for a little while. But hopefully I'll be back, and Larry will invite me back here soon. Right now, though, let's go to Las Vegas, Nevada.
Viva Las Vegas. Viva Las Vegas. How I wish that there were more than 24 hours in the day. Even if there were 40 more, I wouldn't sleep a minute away.
Viva! Oh, I missed it. Viva Las Vegas! We're going to check in with longtime journalist, news reporter, blogger, and all-around very smart guy, Scott Simon, whose work you can check out on Simon Says. Scott, how are you? What's going on in Vegas tonight?
Well, it's fine. We had a little tremor about 45 minutes ago. Not very big, but it's expected after the one we had last earlier this month that really shook us.
Well, that hit Southern Northern California, wasn't it? Where was that? That wasn't too far from you.
No, the first one was just across the state line in California, which was a 7.1, and we felt it.
Oh, I'll bet.
Here in Las Vegas that night, I was actually watching the True Amateur Bowling Tournament at the Orleans, which is on the second floor of the casino. Johnny Lay from St. Charles was bowling, and he and I were teammates in the St. Louis Masters. So I wanted to go out and watch, and he'd finished, and we were just hanging around, and I felt the floor go side to side on the second floor, and I just go, oh, my. But I'd had enough earthquake training, starting back when I was actually a geology student at St. Louis University. So I knew what to do. But Johnny was in the bathroom. Well, he came out. But we did the most important thing: is we got our pitcher of beer with us to the first.
That's it. That's the most important message from earthquake training: save the beer.
Hey, you know, I'm sorry to hear about your arm. I didn't know. Fell off a ladder.
The ladder fell, and I was on it.
Did you have anybody holding it for you?
No. You don't have to hold a step ladder. It's supposed to be wider at the bottom than it is at the top. And this one was the same. No, I looked at the picture.
Remember when I lived in Creve Coeur along with you a decade ago, and I had to go up on my mother's roof? Who did I call to hold the ladder?
I actually came over and held a ladder?
Yes.
Okay. You had me come over just to hold a ladder? Man, you're smarter, a lot smarter than I am, no doubt about it. Okay, let's get to the news of the day, because I know that you're going to be blogging about this, and you can check out all of your work at Simon Says, correct?
No, here's... My podcast is SimonSaysStories.com.
Okay.
And, yeah, you can go there, or you can go to my Facebook page.
SimonSaysStories.com.
Yeah.
So, the Mueller testimony today, did it move the needle at all for you?
Yeah, I went to the heart doctor today. He prescribed two new pills. That's a true story.
Because of the Mueller report, because of the Mueller testimony, you went into cardiac failure. You're not even a Democrat. I mean, I know I can understand if you were a Democrat and you went into heart failure because of what Mueller said today. I get it.
They prescribed two new meds for me. The news wasn't all that great. I wasn't all that happy. But even with that news and being put on two new heart meds, I had a better day than Bob Mueller. That's for sure.
Why do you say that? Why do you think? Because I thought that there were times when he was succinct. He was able to get his point across. I wish it would have been more clear. But then there were other times, like, I really felt bad for him when he couldn't come up with the word conspiracy. He was trying to describe it, and he was saying, "I don't call it collusion. We call it the other word that is sometimes used when collusion is not word. And the word that I'm looking for is And finally, they said, "You mean conspiracy?" "Oh yes, that's it." And I thought, "Oh my gosh, he couldn't come up with the word conspiracy in all of this," and it really did make him look bad. Did you see that part?
I did not see that part. But I'm going to summarize his appearance today. As you know, I am a sports trivia god. Very few in this world can beat me in sports trivia. I can tell you that the Major League Baseball record for most strikeouts in a career as a batter is held by Reggie Jackson, followed by Jim Tomei, and the famous Adam Dunn, who used to play for the Cincinnati Reds. Today, the Major League Baseball record book puts Bob Mueller at the top of the list for most strikeouts.
Why do you say that?
He whiffed so many times. Here's the question. Swing and a miss. Here's the question. Swing and a miss. What did it for me.
Yeah, go ahead. Did it for me. What's that?
He was asked a question. Who was the president that appointed you the U.S. prosecutor right. in Massachusetts?
Yeah.
He got it wrong.
He said Ronald Reagan. Oh. He said
Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan did appoint him.
Oh, he did.
He said George Bush.
Oh, okay.
At that point, that was still the morning session, mm-hmm. and I said it's over. That's why I put on my Facebook page this afternoon. I didn't watch because I really was at the doctor. But I put on my Facebook page when I didn't watch. I said, "Hey, who won the second game of today's Mueller Congress doubleheader?"
Yeah. I think that the Democrats were able to get across a couple of points, and I think there was some evidence brought up that maybe I didn't pay attention to before, that, you know, and it did seem like Trump was sticking his nose in places it shouldn't have been. Nevertheless, there was no place for Mueller to exonerate. It was not Mueller's job to exonerate. Exoneration is not in his purview. So why he brought that up, I don't know.
Paul, this is a disaster for Democrats. This is what's going to happen. You're going to see the tapes of media people who were singing the praises of Mueller, named as the special prosecutor, as being the high and the mighty. And they did in 2017. It was Christmas every day of the year for Democrats with Robert Mueller appointed. Today, they're on the air saying it's a disaster. The same ones that were singing his praises 2 years ago are all of a sudden caught with egg on their face. The best line I have heard tonight is from Trey Gowdy, who's no longer in Congress. He's a pundit now.
Right.
And he said, the person who learned the most today from the Mueller report was Mueller.
there were times when he didn't seem to understand much of what was in there. You know what disappointed me was that I really wanted him to say in clear, easy, understandable terms, either the president should be in jail right now, if not for being the president, he would be in jail, or, you know, let's all move on and get over it, folks, because there's nothing here to see. And he wasn't able to say that.
You're kidding, Mike. You wanted it simple out of Washington, D.C.?
I know.
As Mr. Hand said, are you on dope? I mean, come on.
But I thought it was... Yeah, but here's the thing, though, is that if you're a Republican, you said it was a bust. If you were a Democrat, and I saw Pelosi say this was a defining moment.
Oh, you should have heard what she said today. I saw it about an hour ago as I've been doing some recaps.
She said it was a defining moment.
I don't know what she was watching today.
Yeah.
She made a statement. It was just absolutely stupid.
What's the let's switch views here just a second. Immigration. What's the view from the deserts of Nevada? Who is winning the debate? The Dems, who say that the U.S. is running Nazi-like concentration camps and abusing children, or the Republicans who say the system is overwhelmed and the agents are doing all the best they can to uphold the law and they're getting no help from Congress. What's the view in Vegas about the immigration situation?
Well, the Democrats hold the narrative because the Democrats hold all the offices. After Dean Heller lost the Senate race to Jackie Rosen, we now have a Democrat governor. A Republican U.S. senator was replaced by a Democrat. Our congresspersons here are Democrats. But I can say here in Nevada, we don't have a high rhetoric like you do in other parts of the country, even though we are closer to the border than, you know, most states, with, of course, exception of California, Texas, New Mexico, and Arizona. But we don't see the rhetoric here, but we do see the influx of illegal aliens. Last year, we had an arrest of 13 MS-13 gang members, some of them not too far from where I live. So it is on people's minds. Now, in Las Vegas, our population, 31% is Hispanic. So that is the biggest minority. In fact, probably in 20 years, whites will be a minority and the Hispanics will probably be the majority here.
How many, what's the percentage of illegal immigrants in Vegas? Any idea?
Not really. We don't.
It's not like there's a lot. That you know of?
They never come up with a count, really. They try to hold things. Remember that law enforcement are going to hold those data numbers close to the vest so that they don't tip off anybody else that, hey, we're coming. They're trying to keep the element of surprise. That's the one thing I love about Donald Trump is... He has it right, is that for too long, Washington always says, we have to tell everybody our business in advance. No, we don't. I mean, it's the element surprise that always wins the battle. And ICE is trying to do that as best as possible. Now, the Freedom of Information Act request, they would have to disclose it. But I'll tell you what, journalists today... They're not that inquisitive. I mean, the one thing that really irritates me on these immigration stories is, and agree with me or disagree with what you've seen of these stories, but when you see these stories about families who complain, they say, oh, keep my mother or father here. Don't deport them.
Mm-hmm.
The question and answer I never get, and we just had one in Las Vegas last week.
Mm-hmm.
No one ever asked the question, did they apply for citizenship to begin with?
Did they go through the process? Hey, we're going to take if you've got a question for Scott Simon of SimonSaysStories.com, give us a call. The number here is 821-0590 or 855-282-8255. 314-821-0590. Or 855-282-8255. We're talking with Scott Simon of Simon Says in Las Vegas, Nevada. This is Larry Connors, USA Radio. We're going to take a break and come right back. Stay with us.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
You're listening to Larry Connors USA. To text the show, it's 855-282-8255. It's 855-282-8255.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
And Paul Brown sitting in for the next few minutes here on the program. Thanks for staying with us all night long. Talking with Scott Simon of SimonSaysStories.com in Las Vegas, Nevada. And I noticed you were talking about how the immigration story was being covered by some of the news correspondents. And you and I both worked the streets when you tried very hard not to let your personal political or social beliefs determine how you reported the stories. You know, back then it was like Sergeant Joe Friday from Dragnet, just the facts, ma'am. But we called it objective, non-biased journalism. Is there any of that left in the national media today?
Actually, you know, if you take a look at just pure reporters and look just without any outside influence. Okay, let's talk about like cable news, all right? Look at the reporters that you see on CNN, MSNBC, Fox, and try to analyze their work without hearing the anchor lead in, and that tells your story. Mm-hmm. And I think you find that a lot of the reporters really play it right down the middle, with maybe the exception of Jim Acosta. Well, I can't stand. I just don't know how he got that job.
Well,
but other reporters that I've seen on those three, and even the national networks, I think the reporters alone are fine. It's the anchor lead-in, just like a newspaper headline,
mm-hmm.
that can slant the story, and that's where the confusion comes with viewers, readers, and listeners, because frankly, you know, they're not very sophisticated.
And sometimes it's almost subliminal, where there's a text up, Chiron, or some graphic up on the screen that will say something that's very opinionated, but it looks like it's just, you know, it's just a news fact, and that influences everything.
Amen. You hit it on the head.
Do you think people know the difference now between fake news and news commentary, or have a lot of people lost the ability to recognize the difference?
The paint factory has exploded and all the colors have been mixed. I can't even tell. I mean, I've been out of the business for a while. But even when I watch it, I don't watch as much talking head television at night as I used to. Maybe once a week at most.
Mm-hmm.
I'm serious. I just can't do it.
I have a hard time too. I'm just as frustrated with seeing the right wing pundits as I am the left wing. And fortunately, the Cardinals have been winning, so it's been easier to avoid some of the network news channels.
Hey, that is a great, great pennant race, the National League Central. You know, I mean, naturally, you want your team to win all the time. But when it's eight games from your last place team to first place, that's what you want. You don't want the Baltimore Orioles, who are now about 4,328 games behind the Yankees. You don't want that. Mm-hmm. You want what's in the National League Central, and this is what happened several years ago in the National League Central when all the teams were pretty even. So you got a pretty good penny race. Before we go, I just wanted to say something,
yeah.
Paul.
Go ahead.
The biggest mess, I think, in America is the Democratic list of presidential candidates.
I was just going to ask you about that. We got about 1 minute to go. Is Tom Steyer going to get in? And who's going to win it?
Folks, before Paul Brown became a big newsman in St. Louis, he was a pretty good sportscaster at channels 3 and 6 in Southern Illinois, Western Kentucky and Southeast Missouri. But they had to sign off at 1 o'clock in the morning because there was no such thing as overnight programming at that time. I can tell you that the test patterns of those two stations had more viewers than some of these candidates like Steve Bullock,
who?
John Delaney, Jay Inslee.
Well, just let me say, WPSD-TV now concludes today's broadcasting activities. WPSD is owned and operated by Paducah Newspapers Incorporated with studios and transmitters in Monkey's Eyebrow, Kentucky. Hey, I got to go, buddy.
Yeah, that's great.
I got to go. Hey, I've got 15 seconds.
This debate's going to be important because about 10 of them are going to be off the list.
Scott Simon, SimonSaysStories.com. Thanks again for being with us. This has been Larry Connors USA Radio. I'm Paul Brown sitting in. We'll talk to you next time.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.